Welcome to Women on the Line, one of Community Radio's National Feminist Current Affairs programs produced by women and gender diverse broadcasters at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne on unceded Kulin lands and broadcasted nationally on the Community Radio Network. I'm your host, Xenia. On today's show, we chat with 44 Flats United, a group of residents, former residents, and supporters of public housing organizing against the Victorian State Government's decision to demolish the 44 high-rise commission flats and a growing number of walk-ups across NAM Melbourne. We hear from Aku Tran, leader of 44FU, and T, a Vietnamese woman living in a housing estate in Richmond. We chat about the major problems with the estate demolition plan, what impact this is having on residents, and how 44FU is organizing on this campaign. Let's hear from Aku and T. Please note that parts of the conversation are in Vietnamese and have been translated and edited for brevity.
My name is Aku. I am the leader of 44 Flats United, or 44FU. And
my name is T. I live in 139 Hyatt Street.
Wonderful. And can you just tell listeners who is 44 Flats United?
Yeah, 44FU is a group. We're a group of residents and former residents of public housing and supporters of public housing. And we formed over a year ago in response to this policy to demolish all 44 high-rises across Melbourne and additional walk-ups as well.
So in 2023, then State Premier Dan Andrews announced that the state would demolish and privatise public housing in Victoria, specifically the 44 residential towers across 22 estates, including Carlton, Flemington, North Melbourne, Fitzroy and Richmond, and a few others, which we can talk about. These lands would then be converted into a mix of public and private housing, but it has been unclear from the get-go where the current residents would be relocated.
Mm.
2 years on, can you give us an overview of where this issue is at now and what are the major targets at the moment?
Yeah, for sure. So like back when the announcement was made, there was such little information. In fact, the only thing that was communicated to residents, if they even got that comms, was that the building was old and needed to be retired and that they would be expected to move out within years or decades. So incredibly vague communication. The only thing that they announced in September 2023 alongside this announcement was the first lot of buildings that they would demolish, or they say redevelop, which is essentially demolition and being rebuilt. But the first lot of buildings that they want to demolish, they're referring to as tranche one. 1 year later, and that's where Auntie T lives, they announced tranche two, and Auntie T's building's part of tranche two. So that's 139 Hyatt Street in Richmond. So all they've told us so far, the only thing we know for a fact, there are two buildings in tranche one that they're part of the Flemington estate. Those will be demolished and they're going to be rebuilt as affordable housing and community housing. There will be zero public housing. So this is slightly different to what residents were being told in those buildings when they were told to vacate them, to be relocated out of them. Back then, there was so much confusion. Some residents were told that they'd be moving out temporarily because their building was getting renovated. So they were told to sign these relocation forms in the interim and that they'd be moved back in. But they had no idea that it would be demolished and rebuilt as something that wasn't public housing. Then there are others who knew what was happening or knew that it would be demolished, but didn't know that it was going to be rebuilt as community housing and not public housing. That news only came to light in, I think, March this year. Harriet Shing, the housing minister, announced at a press conference that Flemington would be rebuilt as only affordable and community housing. And we have no news on any of the other estates, not Richmond, not North Melbourne, and we can only assume that they're not rebuilding them as public housing.
Yes, so just to clarify for those who might not know, including myself, what do you think they mean by the term affordable and community housing? Does that differ to public housing?
These are good questions, and the reason these questions keep getting asked by everybody. I feel like they use this terminology intentionally because it's misleading. So the term that they often refer to, like when I say they, I guess I mean the Department of Family Fairness and Housing and Homes Victoria. This plan is part of what they call the big housing build. And in that they aspire to build, I think it was like 10% more social housing. So social housing is the umbrella term. And then under social housing, you have community housing and you have public housing. Outside of social housing, you have affordable housing. And as I understand it, there are various definitions for affordable housing. But a general working definition, I think, is that affordable housing is generally 10% less than the market rate, which is not actually affordable if you're thinking about the suburbs that these estates are situated within, like Fitzroy, Carlton, Richmond. It's 10% less than market rate is affordable housing, and that's completely private. Community housing, which sits under social housing, is different in many ways, different to public housing, despite what, on the contrary to what Homes Victoria will tell you, its main difference is that your landlord, if you live in community housing, will be a community housing provider, not the state government or not Homes Victoria. They will say that your rights are the same, that you have the same rights under the Residential Tenancies Act, but the reality of it, when you speak to people who have been moved to community housing, it's a very different state of affairs to when you're living in public housing. The main thing is that your tenure is different. In public housing, your public housing unit is yours for life. If you live in community housing, typically you'll be signing contracts that are a year long or 3 years long, and they can review it, decide that they're not going to renew it for you for whatever reason, and then you have no secure housing. So the tenure and the rate that you pay, the rent that you pay, are the two main differences. But we can go into the details of why else community housing has been really problematic for people.
So the Flats has over 10,000 residents across the metro region. How has 44FU been organising and uniting residents on this issue? And I would love to hear it both from your perspective as the founder of 44FU and also T as a resident who's engaged with 44FU.
Our goal really was quite simple. It was that there was a lot of good information that community groups, community legal centres had produced for public housing around this issue, and some of it was for public housing residents. And we knew, just by virtue of like being from community, that important information wasn't being shared with residents, those who need to hear it the most. The fact that no one really knew that there was even a class action happening against this, that like most people didn't know there was a parliamentary inquiry into this, so the parliament was investigating the government for this decision. Just general things, basic things like that, and also the fact that the differences between community housing and public housing, they weren't communicated to residents. The only comms or information residents were getting was from Homes Victoria. And so our group's purpose was to get out there to all the affected buildings in Tranche 1 and Tranche 2 and to provide them with information that they may not have had access to. And importantly, interpret it for them. So a large part of the work we do is actually interpreting information. So luckily there's like people in our group that speak different languages, and we've been able to do that. And it's to put residents in touch with each other, because that's where the strength comes from. Residents hearing from each other's experiences and learning from that, even learning like what kind of questions you can ask your relocation officers to get more clarity, that kind of stuff has been really important. But we've been organising meetings, mainly estate-based meetings, where we can share that information and think of ways that we can respond to it, to this decision, for those who don't agree with it. And then also to link up residents across the state, because people can learn from each other, especially those from the Tranche 1, from Tranche 2. They can learn a lot from those who've been through it already in Tranche 1.
Những lúc mà giống như là người ta bệnh hoạn á, khi bệnh hoạn quá người ta lại có thể gọi bạn xuống giúp đỡ. Ô trời ơi, tôi bệnh quá, tôi muốn không được khỏe, có thể giúp được cho tôi là cạo gió không? Hay là có thể đưa, nếu mà cảm thấy trầm trọng thì có thể gọi giùm tôi ambulance không? Có những cái rất 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 là đơn giản mà rất là hiệu nghiệm, giúp liền cấp kỳ. Chứ họ không có cần phải qua kiếm một người khác qua chính phủ hay qua một cái hội nào để giúp đỡ mất một thời gian rất là lâu. Còn đằng này là nó sẽ thực hiện liền và giúp đỡ liền. Làm đó cho người ta một cảm giác rất là an toàn và người ta rất rất là thích và cảm giác đóng giống như là một gia đình. Những người bạn ở những ở chung người ta lúc có tình cảm người ta cảm giống như là bạn bè, giống như là người thân thuộc gia đình của họ. Họ không phải lo lắng nữa.
So Guti was just saying that the community is incredibly strong in Richmond. Residents there support, like provide all the support that they need to each other, and because of that they actually rely less on services within the community. So overall it actually saves the government money. An important point that Auntie T is making is that the government doesn't see this. There's a lot of the support that people are providing each other from, like, just like giving lifts to one another or providing moral support, looking after each other's children, cooking and providing for each other, like healthy meals. All of that saves the government money. People don't have to rely on external services. So tearing the community apart is going to ruin that fabric. It's also, it means that people won't have each other anymore. They will likely have to rely on other service providers, which won't be able to provide the same kind of support, same quality of support that they get from one another. But it'll cost the government more because people will have to rely on these additional services that they weren't previously having to rely on, including just going to the GP clinic and doing more checkups, or perhaps getting like mental health care plans because they don't have the support systems that they're so used to having and have had for decades and that have allowed them to thrive. She also mentioned that even for those who may have like something like a gambling problem, they still like living off money that you get through Centrelink and because of the supports you have in place through community, like social support, but also like all the various supports I've already mentioned, you still can have like quite a high quality lifestyle. Like you can manage, you can make do, you might even be able to still save a bit of money, like have some savings left. But yeah, overall she's saying that because of public housing and because of community that exists in public housing, especially on her estate, it means that people have a good quality of life, and you destroy that and you destroy people's quality of life, and that will add up. That's going to cost the government more and more in the long run as well.
On community radio around Australia, you are listening to Women on the Line. You've been listening to our conversation with 44 Flats United, a group of residents, former residents and supporters of public housing, organising against the Victorian State Government's decision to demolish the 44 high-rise commission flats and a growing number of walk-ups across NAM, Melbourne. We're speaking with Aku Tran, leader of 44FU NT, a Vietnamese woman who lives in a housing estate in Richmond. Let's continue to hear from them. So it is unclear where tenants will be relocated, but with our current housing crisis, it doesn't seem like 10,000 residents will be relocated within their existing suburbs. Why is it important for public housing to be in the metro areas of Melbourne?
Những người ở nhà chính phủ thì họ sẽ cảm thấy là không thể 10,000 người ở chung một lúc, cũng cho là vậy đi.
Yes, I cannot understand how it is that they would be able to relocate 10,000 people into the existing areas that we live in because there's just simply not enough homes.
Nhưng mà họ sẽ sống trong sự nghĩa là họ chia sẻ nhau. Họ có thể chia sẻ nhau để mà sống những chỗ khoảng ở họ ở để mà chia sẻ nhau để cho những người khác đã sống cũng có. Nhưng mà họ cái điều quan trọng là họ không muốn, họ muốn public housing. Tại vì cái public housing đó làm cho họ an toàn và yên tâm.
It could be that there's space to build more public housing in and around these estates. But the thing that's most important for us is that our buildings remain public housing. Public housing affords us the most security out of all forms of housing.
Trong khi đó, nếu mà community thì có những người họ có công ăn việc làm, họ mướn nhà ngoài còn chưa được nữa. thì những người bây giờ giúp đỡ cho họ qua community thì họ biết là họ sống trong sự bấp bênh.
For those who can move into community housing, and that's not many of us, but those who can because they can afford to because they've been given some support, additional support, it's going to be very challenging for those people.
Thì cái community nó làm ra nhiều cái cost, những cái tiền mình phải trả nhiều thêm. Điểm thứ nhất. Điểm thứ hai á, là họ không an toàn rồi cái chỗ ở có vĩnh viễn không?
The first thing is that there will be additional costs, and we can get into that in a little bit. But the second thing is that, yeah, is this secure housing for them?
Trong khi những người đi làm, họ còn đang chờ đợi danh sách để đợi nhà. Thì họ, những người già và những người không có nhà, không có công ăn việc làm, họ rất là sợ. Thành ra sống, họ rất trong cái nghĩa là không tin tưởng cái họ có được là bền vững hay không. Nhưng tuyệt đối là họ rất tin tưởng vào nhà nước, public housing, 100%.
So the people who do work, they're also worried about whether or not they can continue to afford community housing. And for those who don't work, like who don't earn additional income, paying 30% of your income to public housing isn't actually tenable or viable.
Là họ không thẳng thắn là dù kêu tôi có dọn về cái community, chúng tôi trong đầu óc tôi 90% là tôi không tin tưởng community.
90% of me doesn't believe in community housing. I can't believe that it's going to be better for me.
Rồi không biết ngày nào nó sẽ phải là homeless because bị tại vì cái bill cái nào cũng cao hết.
And I just don't know. Like I feel like it could very likely be that I become homeless because everything is so expensive in community housing and I won't be able to afford it.
Còn cái nhà của chính phủ họ giúp đỡ người dân nghèo rất là tốt. Họ có thể là họ giúp dùng cái giống như là làm bớt cho người dân trả bill nhiều.
And under when we live in public housing, there seems to be a lot of support for us as well. So if you're struggling to pay your utility bills, there seems to be support in place for us to make ends meet.
Và họ rất tin tưởng chính phủ sẽ chăm lo đời sống của dân. Cái điều đó họ rất là tin.
People who live in public housing genuinely believe that the government has their interest at heart and they will look out for them.
Còn community là một cái nếu mà nói ra giống như là một cái business nha.
Community housing really does feel like business, a business. It's business housing.
Yeah, cái business đó thì lúc lên lúc xuống, chúng tôi sống cuộc sống thì không được ổn định, không tin tưởng được, nghĩ lại không biết ngày nào tôi sẽ không có nhà, sẽ bị đuổi ra.
It's a business, right? So like things go up and down. You don't know if your rent's going to go up at any point, and I don't know if at any point they might just kick me out. Cái lý do mà nhà chính phủ phải ở trong cái khu mình đang ở, giống như vùng Richmond, là sao không quan trọng để cho mình ở trong cái vùng Richmond?
Rất là quan trọng, tại vì nó rất gần bác sĩ, gần chợ, rồi gần nhà thương. Và họ khi mà họ lớn tuổi, họ sẽ xả stress, họ có thể đi gần đông city, họ không cảm thấy cô đơn. Họ không cảm thấy alone, cảm mà thành ra cái điều đó họ sẽ sống cuộc sống họ dài hơn, lâu hơn.
Guti saying that it's really important that communities continue to live in the inner city so that public housing is retained and that it's, or if it's rebuilt, it's rebuilt in exactly where it currently stands. And it's important for the purposes of access, so things like being able to access your local GP. A lot of people don't drive or rely more on public transport because it's more affordable. So they know how to get to their GP clinic. They know how to get to the hospital. If they need to go into the city, they can do that. Like Victoria Street, it's filled with Asian grocers, and so people can just do their shopping locally. But importantly, that's where your friends and community live as well. And so it's fundamental that people, if people are relocated, they're relocated within the inner city. And if it's rebuilt, it's rebuilt in the inner city.
In terms of the demographic there at the flats, like, is it mostly elderly people? Like, what languages are being, like, people, do people speak there?
Yeah, I can definitely speak to, like, Flemington and North Melbourne and South Yarra, but maybe we'll ask Gauthier to tell us a bit about her building.
Đủ các nước, đủ nước, Timor, China, người nước da đen, người
Châu Phi,
rồi nhiều loại nước lắm. Rất là nhiều nước nhưng mà họ rất là friendly với nhau. Cái điểm thứ nhất đó là họ có thể học được tiếng Anh chung với nhau. Đó là họ học thực hành liền, chứ họ không phải đi qua cô giáo, thầy giáo. Họ có thể học từ những người cùng nước khác nước với nhau.
Gauthier saying that, yeah, there's people from many countries in her building. There's people, Gauthier missed Vietnam, but that's okay. So Vietnam's one of the dominant groups there. Maybe about 30% of the residents in 139 are Vietnamese. There's East Timorese people as well, Chinese people, and people from different African countries as well. And there's First Nations and a small, very small population of white Australians. But what she loves about this, about living in such a diverse community, is that people get along really well and people learn how to speak English better that way, because that's the language they have in common. And so you have to use it. And it's been really beneficial for that purpose as well, just to practice and speak English with one another.
Và mỗi ngày họ say hello với nhau. Họ có thể nói những chuyện động từ body language. Rồi từ từ cái đó người ta sẽ nhìn ra rồi bắt đầu ta học từ. Nó cũng là một cái tình cảm.
Yeah, Gauthier saying that it's a really familial way of communicating. So you can communicate in language, and there's a lot of body language involved as well. But being able to communicate with each other at all is a really great stepping stone to then speaking more to one another and practicing English. People feel really, there's a lot of affection, she's saying, in the building.
That's really beautiful. And I think that to have something like that taken away would be just devastating, actually, because I imagine these bonds, a lot of people live there for a really long time, I imagine.
Definitely. Right? Yeah. Like one of Gauthier's good friends has lived there for 41 years.
I know a lot of people stay there 40 years, 50 years, 35 years, a lot. But they say they're very happy because they're confident. They can do by sale, go to shopping. They can buy by sale, go to doctor. They don't have to need somebody to come help her, take her, go to doctor. That's very important. They can do by yourself. They feel, I still strong. But even they older already. But they don't know. They think he's strong. Oh, I still young, you know. This one very important. Why they love that?
And especially for older people, Gauthier. And there's a lot, just from our door knocking. So we've door knocked 139 probably four times over now. Just at an estimate, I'd say that maybe 20 to 30% of people are over 60. Gauthier, would you agree? Maybe, it's about 20, 30% long, Hong Sami Lam Tu,
A lot older.
And a lot live on their own, or like they would have moved in with their kids, or the kids grew up there and now they live alone. So a large proportion of the community are seniors and need support, and increasingly will need more support as well as they age.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what's next for 44FU and what's ahead for the campaign.
Yeah, we've been out to all the affected buildings in Tranche 1 and Tranche 2 now, and it's kind of at a crisis stage. It's pretty dire, the people that are left in these buildings. There's a lot of people who still don't want to go and still want to fight.
Exactly.
Yeah, is that right, Gauthier?
Even somebody move, they still want to come back, always.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of people who have been relocated who still want to fight to save their buildings, or who want to fight to save buildings so they can move back in. They're not happy with where they've been relocated.
Even more still want to come back fighting because they're not unhappy. because inside you vẫn còn upset.
Yeah, people. So the tea saying there's people who've moved out, have been forced out. They're really upset. They don't like that this is happening, and they want to keep fighting. And so we're connecting people up with one another. Like we, as 44, if you firmly believe that the only thing that will stop this policy, this demolition plans, is to have be united across all the estates, tranche one, tranche two, and beyond. That's the main thing we focus on right now, bringing people together and opening up dialogue, talking to one another, sharing information, sharing different support. There are a lot of groups that provide support as well, linking people up with those, especially the community legal centres. IMCL has been fantastic in a Melbourne community legal centre. But yeah, really like tangible support like that, and also just sharing stories with one another, because, and this is important, individuals who are being relocated are all treated very differently. You talk to people, different relocation officers will treat people differently, and it makes no sense. The way that this whole process is being rolled out is incredibly questionable. People have been lied to, have been misled, have been promised things that they don't follow through on. And our role is to expose that to residents. People are being treated differently, and it's not fair, and it's not right. And when people hear about that, they get incredibly frustrated, and rightly so. And so they feel like they have, different ability to stand up for themselves. So yeah, our role is really to empower individuals. And if anything, is to also get out to the rest of the 37 other buildings that are yet to be announced, and to share the information and lessons we've learned so far, so that people aren't in the dark about what's going on, and they're not only hearing from Homes Victoria, they're hearing from residents that have been affected before them. That's where the power lies.
And that's all for Women on the Line today. Today we heard from 44 Flats United, a group of residents, former residents and supporters of public housing, organising against the Victorian State Government's decision to demolish the 44 high-rise commission flats and a growing number of walk-ups across Narm, Melbourne. We spoke with Aku, the leader of 44FU, and T, a Vietnamese woman who lives in the housing estate in Richmond. Currently, there is an ongoing parliamentary inquiry, and on the 27th of October, there will be a class action court case appeal in Victoria. You can follow 44 Flats United on Instagram at 44_FlatsUnited. Thanks to the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their financial support. The theme music for Women on the Line is by Ripley Kavara. I'm Senya, and tune in to Women on the Line next week on your local community radio station.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.